The Super Speedway Podcast is a Dream Bigger Media production. For news, photos, show notes, and information about advertising on the podcast, visit www.thesuperspeedway.com.
3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Super Speedway.
I've had dental surgery. It was funner than this.
Welcome to episode 163 of the Super Speedway Podcast, recorded Tuesday, July 21st, 2020. I'm your host, Eric Young. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, James Gutch. James, I think that could be the theme of our podcast right there.
Yeah, dental surgery at times can be a lot more fun than listening to this podcast. Full disclosure.
There you go. If you aren't familiar with the audio, that is from Angela Ruck's team at Texas Motor Speedway during the Truck Series race. It was a pleasant race for Angela and team, so.
It was fantastic. Yeah. If you guys need, how long is that video, Eric? Is that 10 minutes?
I think it's 10 or 12 minutes or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Just great. Yeah. I mean, it's just, from start to finish, it's the best thing that's been put on the internet since COVID struck. So
it's really good stuff. And it has made its way to
that dental surgery. It was funner than this.
The soundboard. So we have that for all time.
Yeah, Texas really led itself to some soundboard just classic stuff that we're going to have for the rest of time. So that's good.
Yeah, we got another one. We'll debut it in a little bit. We're going to talk about drivers and being qualified for the series that we're in a little bit, I think. I know it's been a hot topic on Sirius this week, and I think we're going to have a little bit to talk about too, but I don't think James and I are going to disagree on it any.
No, we're not. No.
So we'll get into that. We've got some stuff to talk about there. So first off, it was the O'Reilly Auto Parts 500 from Texas Motor Speedway. We predicted last week that it was going to be, did we predict on the podcast that it was going to be a snooze fest?
Kind of. Yeah. We were not looking forward to it.
No, I figured 500 miles of Texas. Oh my God. Just shoot me. But it was a good race.
Not bad. I did not do very well in Jeff Gluck's poll.
Really?
Which I thought it would be a little bit higher than it was. It was in like the 50s or low 60s. Hmm. So not the best, but
let's put it this way. For Texas, it was a barn burner.
Yeah. And I sent you a message before the race. I said, how much of this race should I skip? 80%? Does it seem fair? And honestly, I didn't skip a whole lot. I mean, I was doing a little bit of traveling on Sunday, but I watched a good majority of the race, and it was pretty, like you said, Eric, not a bad Texas race.
Yeah,
for what Texas is.
I watched delayed for about the first two stages. I think I got caught up to live right around the end of, right, maybe halfway through the second stage. It was not the greatest race of all time by any means, but pretty decent race. I think Quinn Hoff made it a little better.
He was
not
out
for
there.
Everybody, but better for us. But I guess we do this a lot. We don't mention the winner until like 10 minutes in the podcast. So Austin Dillon gets the win. What is that?
Sweep of the front row for Richard Childress.
Is that career win 3 or 4 for Dillon?
Career win number 3.
There we go.
He adds it to his. So he's now won 2 500s and a 600. So if it's a 500 mile race, Austin Dillon is your man.
Yeah.
And again, repeating ourselves from last week, didn't fluke his way into it. This was a deserved win.
Yep.
A really good win.
Yep. He was there all day. And, one other thing to note, and I got this from listening to about 5 minutes of Moody's show today on Sirius, where he was talking to Kurt Busch, and, Kurt said that Austin changed left side tires on that last pit stop. That's what won him the race. He said for some reason that car just ran like hell on left side tires.
And so RCR, and I had heard this on the Pos Reg Pod. I'm going to shout that podcast out a couple of times.
Oh yeah, shout him out a ton. Every chance you get.
Yeah, I'm going to hit him a couple of times. A couple weeks ago, they had mentioned that RCR has this command center that they're using, and come to find out, the pit call for Austin Dillon and Tyler Reddick at the end of that race came from North Carolina.
Interesting.
They called the race from their command center, called for the two tires. And once again, on these intermediate tracks, tire wear does not matter. It does not scrub off speed. And boom, there you go. Richard Childress Racing with a great pit call gets it done.
Wow.
Incredible.
And you know, I mean, you can argue, I think we've all argued that we like tracks where tires wear out, but maybe this race was more compelling because they didn't.
Well, and Joey Logano had a really interesting comment after the race. I don't know if you saw it, Eric, but he said that the tires will wear, but they don't lose speed. He said these tires can go to the cords, and they're still, he said, they're still fast.
Right.
So I don't know what that means, with the racetrack or with the tire. I do know. I think that just means
you don't know before you hit the wall.
Exactly, right? So, yeah, you're still fast before you crash, right? Yeah, so I think they're bringing the left sides from Texas to Kansas this week, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, these tires are going to be around. I'm not super thrilled about them, I guess, but, yeah. You know, it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that there's a ton of stuff necessarily to talk about with this race. Obviously, I wanted to bring some attention to poor Cole Custer, who comes off of winning his first race. Yeah. Highest of highs and gets caught up in the wreck.
Yeah, humbled.
The attempt at three wide down the front stretch that doesn't really work very well even when your cars are glued to the track.
Yeah, that wadded up a whole bunch of guys.
Yeah, that was an old-style Texas wreck right there.
Yeah, ruined William Byron's day. I think who else was in that? Johnson was in it.
Yep.
Ruined his day.
My entire fantasy lineup pretty much was in that.
Yeah, Truex was in it, so he got his day ruined. I think.
Truex was the one who caused the most of it because he came back down across the track. Which, I mean, it's not his fault. You've got no control over the car at that point. Usually, the car will stay against the wall, but it came back down across the track, and that's what caught everybody up.
That was a big incident, and you know, kudos to the 18 team for rallying on that one because they were skidding like a stone on water across the infield grass. And
well, I mean, it. It wasn't the Kyle, but it wasn't his team, James.
Yeah, I know.
Can't
yeah.
be.
There you go.
There it is. There KFB. He is. The 18.
Yep.
So, oh my God, KFB.
Yep. There you go. That's what got it done.
The rest of his career, he's going to get KFB it's going to never end.
Yeah, but you know, we talked about it a little bit after it was said, and. Of all the Kyle Busch catchphrases and quotes and things like that, I mean, we've got.
Am I a positive person?
We've got that one.
We got beat.
That one. I mean, this was the least whiny, most confident Kyle Busch comment we've had yet.
Just self-deprecating Kyle. That's a good Kyle.
It was a good one. I mean, I actually like respect him more for saying it, which is rare for Kyle Busch comments.
Well, he's done the crybaby face to the fans before. He plays the heel well. That's his
the
role.
Thing. Embrace it. Embrace it, Kyle. Embrace it.
Yeah, I told you.
You are the heel. You identify with the heel from Days of Thunder. Be the heel and just take it.
Yeah, I told you it's the best hashtag since blame JJ. Hashtag blame JJ.
Oh,
so
yeah.
There you go. Yeah, yep. I mean it's KFB.
It's a good one. Yeah, I missed it. I shut the broadcast off before that point, and then you guys started talking about it in the chat, and then I went on Twitter and just everybody's KFB, KFB. It's like, oh God, what did Kyle say?
He dwarfed Austin Dillon's silver spoon comment, which I normally that would have probably got the attention after AFB took it to the next level on old Austin there.
It's good stuff.
That's great. But yeah, I mean that team, I know Kyle took a lot of credit for that car, but that team got that car back out there in raceable shape.
It was airborne.
Oh yeah.
Airborne. Yeah. And yeah, he was digging bouncing. Through the dirt. I mean,
how many times are we going to see cars skipping across, either the apron of the track or their infield every week? Apparently, is what we're getting because we had Blaney last week skipping around in Kentucky, and then Kyle Busch on the on the grass. But he rallied, man. He had a good run after that.
Well, there'd been a lot less of an issue if they had AstroTurf down instead of grass. So
sure, yeah.
Here you go, Texas. Yeah. Put some turf down. Let's see. Jimmy Johnson ends up 26th.
Bad day for Jimmy.
He was running decent and then just lost it.
Yep.
Hamlin
did the same thing.
Yep.
I don't think he was really in contention though. He just lost it late. That was one of the last restarts. Hamlin blew it.
Christopher Bell did the same thing at one point.
Yeah, and Christopher Bell got taken out by Quinn Houff. So he had a lot of problems going on.
Yeah.
For that poor dude. I do feel bad for Blaney because that was his race.
Yeah.
And it got away from him, unfortunately, but still had a good day.
What happens with that team, man? If it's not Blaney blowing it, it's a pit call. It just never fails.
I've it's come to be that Blaney is going to blow it at some point, mm-hmm. and Jimmy Johnson figures out a way to lose as many points as possible every weekend. Like, those two guys cannot get out of their own way.
Well, and the thing is, it's not always Blaney, although Blaney is a large part of it. But when it's not Blaney, his team picks up the slack.
Yep. Oh yeah. And they've been doing it all year. They did it before the stoppage, and it's happening now. And if not for that Talladega win, I mean, they're still gobbling up points. They're running great.
Yeah.
It's just, they have this, like, it's like a chink in the gear, and it's not running to full capacity sometimes.
Right. Worth a note too, that not only did Austin Dillon win the race, but it was a 1-2 for Richard Childress. Tyler Reddick comes home second. With a car that, I mean, if things would have gone a little bit different on the restart, Reddick would have won the race.
And kudos to Tyler Reddick for driving like a vet late in that race. He had a couple of opportunities where he might have, any other rookie would have saw the, they would have seen that checkered flag and made some rash moves.
Well,
but I think
especially
Tyler
the
Reddick,
week after one of your rivals wins a race.
And
you want to come out and prove yourself too. And.
Yep. No, he drove like a veteran.
That's Tyler Reddick. I think that
he understood the situation.
We've seen that from him in the Xfinity series, and I think we're seeing it in the Cup series. I think we've seen it with that car all around, James.
All year.
He doesn't overdrive the car. He drives it to its ability. He's not trying to put it in situations that it's not going to handle, and that's why he's got good finishes as a result. Is he perfect? No, he's a rookie. He's not gonna be perfect, but
I think if it's not his teammate leading that race, I think he plays it differently. I think he's a little bit more aggressive, but understanding the situation as it was, he drove one of the, that was the best second place finish. I mean, I've noticed in a long time.
Definitely.
Yeah. You don't really notice a guy who makes a second place run. And definitely that stands out to me.
Yep.
How great that was.
Corey LaJoie gets a 16th place finish. Good for Corey. Michael McDowell, 15th place. Bubba Wallace, 14th. Chase Elliott, fresh off the All-Star win, finishes 12th outside the top 10.
Yep.
Let's see. Joey Logano gets third. Kyle, again, you mentioned him with the damaged car after flying through the grass, finishes fourth.
Yeah.
And potentially could have been a race winner if things would have played out a little bit different at the end. He was coming, so...
Yep, and there's another guy in the top 10. He's in 10th. He finished in 10th, but let me give you his last, since Homestead, race number 12. He's finished 5th, 3rd, 3rd, 5th, 3rd, 8th, and 10th. Eric Almirola.
Yep.
He is putting it together right now, running really good.
Yeah.
That is another thing that's standing out to me every week, is that 10 car is no slouch. Like, they are, I mean, they're every bit as good as, I don't know, I mean, he's running better than Kyle Busch every week. That's for sure.
Right.
You know, Joey Logano is running as good as Joey every week, it seems like. So, yeah, that's standing out to me as well.
You mentioned Ryan Blaney. He finishes 7th place, won both the first two stages, led 150 laps in the day. Most laps led of anybody. 150 laps out of a 334 lap race.
Yeah. Yeah. He earned 50 points on the day. That was more than anyone. Next closest person was Harvick at 46. So, he gobbled him up.
And I mean, you mentioned Dylan, that he didn't luck into it. He led 22 laps in the day, so decent race for Austin.
Yeah, and restarted well. He restarted well, and with Kyle Busch back there, I know it's hard to pass when you get that clean air, but with Kyle Busch lurking behind you, I don't care what Kyle Busch is driving. That's pretty scary. And Joey Logano too. Harvick. I mean, those guys are like the best restarters in the sport, and Austin Dillon held them all off. So. Yep.
Martin Truex Jr. finishes 29th. He led 15 laps on the day, twice for 15 laps, finished 6th and 10th in the stages. Truex, they had pit trouble or something that put him in the back, that got him in that wreck, didn't they? Wasn't there something that put him back there?
Yeah, they were bouncing back.
Because he was up front, running decent throughout the day.
Yeah, and then he was involved in the big one.
Yeah.
Which definitely, that put him...
That was the end of it.
Yep.
They tried to get the car back out, but weren't able to get it going. So, or actually, I take that back. They didn't. Were they the ones that made it? They got to go keep running.
He ran. No, he finished.
Yeah, he was running at the end. Yes.
Yep. Yep,
so they did get it back together.
Yep.
So.
Yep. He was about 14 laps down, but he finished. Yep.
It was who the heck was I thinking of that didn't make the minimum speed? Must have been Byron.
Byron was in a couple of different accidents. Yeah. He was in an accident with Ty Dillon On lap 252, so yep. he had a couple of issues.
Ah, Ty Dillon, he's the one damaged vehicle policy. There he is.
Yep.
Okay.
The Racing Reference DVP.
Yep.
Yep.
So okay, yeah, I'm not using. I'm fancier than that, James. I'm using the actual official NASCAR results.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Not the Racing Reference. So, which for the record, guys, is the exact same thing. Any of the information that you get as a media member is the stuff that ends up on Racing Reference anyway. It's owned by NASCAR, so
boom.
It's not special, but it's but easier. You like the, it's easier for me to find this. I'm more used to this because when I'm at the track, this is what I look at. So I just look at the same thing, and plus I can scroll down. And I get my little cheat sheet here somewhere. Where is it? Wow. There it is. Austin Dillon won the 24th annual O'Reilly Auto Parts 500. It's his third victory, 247 NASCAR Cup Series start. First victory and fifth top 10 finish in 2020. And it is his first victory and second top 10 finish in 15 races at Texas Motor Speedway. See, I wouldn't have that information if I didn't have the NASCAR results.
That's beautiful.
Austin Dillon is 30 years old. He drives for the Bass Pro Shops Tracker Off-Road Chevrolet. Owned by Richard Childress Racing, crew chief Justin Alexander.
And he's a new dad.
Yes. Boom. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And he even got his son on the broadcast. So.
And he's really so him and Custer now have really jacked up the playoff picture.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's a mess. Yeah, it's a mess now.
It is a mess. And
which is great.
The greatest part is we got what, 8 races left?
Yeah.
And two of those are not much. 4 of those are doubleheaders.
Yeah, and we've got the Daytona. We got the Daytona Road Course and Daytona,
which found out that the Daytona Road Course likely will be run with no practice.
Oh,
can you imagine running a road course for the first time ever somewhere like Daytona, where gearing is going to be as important as? I mean, NASCAR is going to set the gear, but
yeah,
I mean, all that stuff is going to be so important.
And I was reading, this is probably taking out of line, but they may add a second chicane to the front stretch to slow them down.
Interesting.
A tick more. Yeah. I've seen that.
I think it's necessary.
Yeah. They're going to be flying down that. I mean, that's a long stretch for those guys. So they're going to be hauling the mail.
Yeah. Unrestricted 750 horsepower. They'll be turning full speed by the time they get over there.
It's going to be fun. I wish I was there for that one. Actually, that would be a fun one to, I'm curious to see how much of a disaster it could be, but yeah, we could. I mean, we've got some random winner. I mean, heck, Stenhouse can get in there with the Daytona win.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know who we could think about for winning the Daytona road course, but shoot.
Anybody, you know, I mean,
yeah, could be anybody. Yeah. Could be Tyler Reddick. Could be, you know,
right.
Some, I mean, yeah, it's, you know, Eric Jones. I mean, that Eric Jones is, you know, he could run well there. I could see that too. So, and he could win Daytona. I mean, he needs to win. I think Johnson's going to need eventually get a win. The playoffs are all messed up because, you know, Jimmy missing a race and then Byron and Jones, those guys are all fighting to make a spot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not.
Well, and you got somebody like Kyle Busch, who's back way back where he's not 13th, usually at. Yeah.
He's 13th.
You know, Jimmy Johnson's hanging out back there. Jimmy's only missed the playoffs, what, one time, right? Yeah, one time. He's only missed the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got it's. I don't have the point standings right in front of me, but I know there's some big names toward the back of it. And a lot can happen still. Like you said, one more fluke winner and it gets even more interesting. So,
So right now, William,
I mean, we say fluke winner, but again, neither of these guys were fluke winners. They
and that's outright. The thing is like we're at the time of the season now where we're going to start looking at the point standings every week.
Yeah.
So, and William Byron, he holds 16th in points, but he's not 16th in the standings because of Custer and Dillon. So they both got him boxed out. Eric Almirola, we talked about him having a great season. He's earned over 200 more points than Cole Custer, and he's behind him in the playoff board. He's sitting comfortable.
Right.
And then the Busch brothers are right there. DiBenedetto, he's in a comfortable spot as long as he doesn't have a catastrophe. But that's it, man. Boyer and Johnson are 15th and 16th, and it's tight. Hmm. It's tight.
Interesting.
Especially when you got Byron and Jones knocking at the door. I think those guys are gonna make a push.
Right. Time of race 3 hours 38 minutes. I mean, I don't think it felt. It felt long, but it didn't feel that long. So,
yeah.
Again, interesting race.
500 miles are long.
10 cautions for 45 laps, 29 lead changes. So, again, interesting race for Texas Motor Speedway. Anything I missed on Texas, James? Can we move on?
No, I think we covered it, man. Okay. I mean, congrats to Austin Dillon.
I wanted, before we leave Texas Motor Speedway, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Xfinity Series. I don't know if you got a chance to watch the Xfinity Series race, James.
Yeah, a little bit. Yep.
First of all, the biggest news of it, I think, was Kyle Busch won his 98th Xfinity Series race. only to have it taken away until in post-race tech.
Yeah, until he didn't.
Yeah, Kyle gets DQ'd. He was pretty salty about that when he won the truck race later in the day.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. They, I mean, NASCAR media had to ask him about it, and he, you know, he was salty. Yeah, salty's a word.
The one I wanted to tackle was Noah Gregson. So,
oh boy, yeah.
We've talked about Gregson a bit here on the podcast, and I think we both kind of feel like he's a dart without feathers right now. Very skilled driver, but just doing some things that it's going to cost him if he doesn't get his stuff together. So he wrecked Riley Herbst on lap six or something like that. It was really early in the race.
Yeah.
I noticed there was some criticism on Twitter at Dale Jr. for basically bad mouthing his driver, but I give Dale Jr. a lot of credit. Dale's playing the broadcaster there, not the team owner. And he's being critical, probably maybe more critical of Noah because he's his team owner, but he's doing his job. That's what he's supposed to do.
Yeah. He has been pretty critical of him before. Yep. So it's not anything new. Like he's standing a ground with him, and he's got to play that mentor role. And as a mentor, you're going to be critical from time to time.
The only issue that I had with this was they were all over Noah Gregson for wrecking Riley Herbst. And then they were praising, who was it? Was it Cindric on Allgaier, I think, later in the race coming out of turn two. And it was basically the same thing, except the Allgaier didn't wreck. And they're like talking about how great Cindric was because of it. I mean, the difference here is too that, you know, Noah got him loose and then finished with the bumper and wrecked him, whereas Cindric didn't ever touch Allgaier. But obviously, I mean, I think we agree Gregson's been too aggressive, right? I mean, he needs to cool it a little bit.
Well, and even when he slapped the wall, that whole situation, you know, he could have conserved and maybe salvaged the car and had a better day than he did.
Right.
But then he dive bombed it into turn three and smacked it again, and that pretty much put an end to their day. They got a damaged vehicle policy. So
the thing is, too, is like the situation with Cindric. So Cindric doesn't have a history of doing this. So when he gets up behind Allgaier and moves him out of the way, you go, oh, you know, just racing thing. But when Gregson does it every time he gets behind somebody,
now you
got the red flag, you got the reputation. Maybe you're not doing it on purpose, but it's going to follow you everywhere. And he's already pissed off his teammate a couple times.
Yeah.
When you don't even have your teammate on your side, that's pretty rough. Well,
and it stinks, too, because he's talented.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it overshadows
his talent. He's got what it takes to be in Cup.
He's every bit as good. Yeah. And there's, you know, Cindric, Briscoe, Harrison Burton. Like, those guys are, you know, that's the next big three in the sport. Gregson should be in that group. I mean, he's in that group.
And Gregson, he's got the personality, too, that we could use. We could use somebody with a big personality like him.
Yeah,
but
he's got to harness it just a little bit. And we've had drivers come along like this before.
Yeah.
You know, the dart with no feathers. You know,
Jeff Gordon wrecked a lot of cars in Cup when he came up.
Yep. Remember my old favorite driver, Swervin' Ernie Irvin.
Oh, yeah.
Remember he had to get up in front of everybody at Talladega and apologize for how he drove. And it pretty much changed the course of his career a little bit when he did that. So Gregson can figure it out. He's just got to, I hate to say slow it down, but just back her down just a little bit on the aggression. But everything we praise Tyler Reddick for, Noah Gregson is the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, he's all over the place.
I think he's got a good team owner in Dale Jr. as long as Jr. has that relationship to where he can sit down and talk with him. Because I think Jr. is, you know, Jr.'s been in his share of dust ups, but he's pretty mild mannered, I think, can help curb that a little bit as long as he's willing to put the work in with Noah.
And he's worked with young drivers.
Yeah.
Way along the way and has been really good. And his young drivers tend to make it.
Yeah, Junior's the only one that could rival Kyle Busch in development ability, you know.
And for a bit there, Brad Keselowski too. I mean, those guys did a lot before Brad shut his team down. They had a lot of, you know, a lot of talent coming through those three different teams.
Yeah, look at the talent we've got right now. A lot of them came from Brad Keselowski's team. Of course, they weren't. Yeah. They weren't necessarily special in Brad Keselowski's team, though.
No,
because he.
No.
Did they ever win a truck race?
They won some races. Brad won one. I remember Blaney winning a few.
Brad a long time to win one.
Oh, yeah. His team was nowhere near where, you know, like KBM has
gotten to. They ran really well, but they struggled to finish a lot.
I remember. Yeah, I'd have to do a look and see. I know they've got a handful of wins in races and stuff. But yeah, Cindric drove for him. Briscoe, I think Briscoe drove for him too. So yeah, they've had a good pipeline.
Does Gregson have enough talent to overcome this if he doesn't rein it in?
I think he will. I think he'll overcome this little stretch. I think he's just going through. I mean, he's young.
Yeah.
You know, you hate to give him the default all the time, but. Yeah, these guys got to learn, and some guys learn the hard way. Like some, you know, some guys are hard headed,
right?
And they have to get smacked around a little bit.
The thing is, and we're going to talk in a couple minutes about this in more in depth. But Noah's making these mistakes in the Xfinity series.
Yeah, and that's where he needs to be.
Which is where you're supposed to make these mistakes. You make these in the Truck Series and the Xfinity Series. Yep. Not saying you can't make mistakes in the Cup Series, but you're supposed to get this rookie stuff mostly out of the way. In the lower series before you move up to the big series. Well, step up.
Yeah. And if anything, he is showing us that he needs another season or two in Xfinity.
Yep. All right.
That's a good segue. If you want to take it.
Nah, well, let's just dip through the news. We'll kind of run through it the way we got it. Otherwise I feel like every time I jump around, I end up skipping something by accident. So
sounds good.
All right. News items. There's a lot of stuff here, but it's not a lot of in-depth stuff.
So yeah, a meal here, but there's not a lot of meat.
Yeah, we'll burn through it pretty quick. So to start out with, we got some word today on Iowa Speedway, some question marks about the future of Iowa Speedway and whether the track may be closed in the future. So IndyCar race there this past weekend, they had a doubleheader there, but that's it. That's all that's on the schedule for Iowa Speedway. I guess ARCA was there with IndyCar as well, but that's it. No NASCAR races. NASCAR's already announced they will not go to Iowa Speedway this year. So a lot of people questioning whether they're going to sell the track. Apparently it's losing money and they laid a bunch of people off earlier in the season. And then today, after I did the show notes, all of a sudden there's word that maybe Roger Penske's thinking about buying it.
Hey. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Roger's interested in continuing to go there for the IndyCar series. They essentially
Rusty owned it for a while. So
yeah, they essentially rented the track from ISC. So they didn't really need the staff there because they pretty much just took the track over. IndyCar did for the weekend.
Yeah.
And Roger says he's interested in continuing to do that. But I guess if they're looking to sell it, maybe Roger's a buyer.
Yeah.
I feel like he's got some experience owning tracks and stuff. I mean,
yeah, and he's working through a pandemic with some.
Did he just buy a track? Kind of a little known track.
A big, yeah, kind of. It's a big one, yeah. One of those.
In an IndyCar series, you know. Biggie.
Here's the story on Iowa in a sentence. Great track, bad location.
Mm-hmm.
That's been
out in the middle of freaking nowhere.
Yeah, and that's
the reason I haven't been there, James, because. It's such a hell of a trip to go out there.
Yeah.
To just go out in the middle of nowhere.
And I understand why fans are out, you know, there's fans out there for NASCAR and they want to see NASCAR racing.
Yeah,
but
fans have not supported that track.
No, and it's been around. I cannot believe that it's been around for 15 years. I saw that they had a 15-year run. Yep. That is crazy to me. It's had good racing, too.
Yeah, it's a good track. It would be an excellent Cup Series track.
It's just way the heck out there, dude. It's a long way out there.
So we were talking about possibly having a Cup Series race there the next year.
You were the one guy I knew who was really hopeful that Iowa would ever get a date. And man, it's just
it would because it was owned by NASCAR.
Yeah, I was with you there, but yeah, you were on it, and I thought for sure you were gonna hit the nail with that one because I'm like, yeah, it makes total sense. They're gonna get out there eventually, but yeah, they have backslid. This pandemic really. Mm-hmm. Changed a lot of things, and you know, and they're not the only track that's lost a ton of staff. I mean, shoot, our friends at MIS, we've talked about it before, a lot of them lost jobs.
Yep. We've heard the same thing with Chicagoland.
Yep. And it's just NASCAR is consolidating all that marketing ticket sales stuff into one location. They think they can do it for all the tracks, so hopefully, you know, if it does sell, hopefully Roger is the guy to buy it, because that would keep racing out there. But that, I don't know what that would mean for NASCAR racing, which stinks.
Hard to say. But I'd love to see a Cup race there. I'd love to see what the Cup cars could do on that track. I think it's the perfect mix between a short track and a mile and a half. It's big enough to be able to hold what's necessary for a big series, but small enough that it's still interesting. And yeah, I mean, there's been some good Xfinity series races there.
Yeah.
There's been some terrible ones too, but.
Was it Carl Edwards and Stenhouse when they got plowed? Because Stenhouse blew
the motor coming to the checkered flag, and Edwards ran in the back of him and
plowed into him. It was fantastic. Yeah, yeah, that was a good one. Yeah.
So, all right, let's get into this. Brad Keselowski, this is based on the Quinn Hoff thing. Of course, if you missed it, Quinn decided it was Weaver. Matt Weaver had the best quote. That he tried to pit from the turn four grandstand and basically run in the middle of the track, decided to try and pit and took out Christopher Bell in the process. Just a bonehead move. I mean, no way around it. It was a terrible, terrible move. I think I read something that his mirror fell off and that might've been part of what it was.
He had said that there was some, he was trying to pass the blame on to some other folks, spotters and so on. Yeah. I don't know why, but
so we heard the real short audio from the Angela Ruck radio at the beginning of the show. I'm gonna lump her into this as well because
yeah, please do.
and we'll lump Natalie Decker in with this. There's been some talk about Haley Deegan. She's in the ARCA series. She's kind of going the right way about doing it, but I think she's completely wasting her time in the ARCA series because there's no competition in the ARCA series whatsoever.
Well, she's got to prove herself, though.
Well, that's the thing, is she's not proving herself with no competition in the ARCA series. So
yeah, and that's not a good look for her. And you know, you could kind of see some of this coming with Haley just a little bit. She got overhyped just a tick, but
yeah,
she's a good. I mean, she's
overhyped
a lot.
I really like her. She's got a good personality, but she got overhyped a lot.
But man, I tell you what. The way she won a couple of those races, she is an intriguing prospect still. Yes,
still.
For sure. For sure.
So there's been a lot of talk about drivers that maybe are not fit to be in the roles that they're in, at least with Haley Deegan. And again, I'm not bashing Haley Deegan. I'm not saying that she's not where she's exactly where she should be.
She's done this the exact way that
you're supposed to do it. She has started the bottom tier and worked her way up and continues to do so. Whereas someone like Quinn Hoff did not do that. So Brad Keselowski said after the race that he would like to see drivers be able to be demoted into lower series if they do stupid things. And so let me see if I can find the actual quote.
Well, and while you're looking for it, Eric, you and I have talked about this time and time again on how NASCAR's minor league, air quotes, minor league series should be more of a feeder system than they really are, because really they exist strictly to pretty much make any sort of revenue that they can.
Right.
I mean, they're not a true feeder system. They're just
right.
an additional racing series.
Right. So here's Brad's quote. I'll read the whole thing. Start out with, I think there are two ways to look at it. This is a response to the accident. There's the entertainment way to look at it and say that probably created a more entertaining finish. So if you like chaos, then that was good. I think on the other side of that, there's the, hey, I'm a professional race car driver that's worked my entire career to get there, had to jump through a lot of hoops to make it, and would like to think that those efforts have created a spot for me in the series to be joined with peers of similar talent levels. He says, one thing I would like to see, and I think I've been pretty consistent with this, is I would like to see drivers be able to graduate into this level, and equally, I'd like to be able to see them be removed from this level when they have repeated issues. I can't speak enough to the gentleman that had these issues today, but I've seen in the past where drivers have had this issue multiple times, somehow are still there, where I think they should be effectively placed in a lower series or asked to go back to a more minor league level to prove their salt. But it's not that's ultimately not my decision to make. It's not blah, 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 blah. Anyway, we don't need to keep his PR crap in there. So, or his political correct part of the answer. Yeah. So let's talk about it, James. I know, like, for example, and I don't know exactly how it works in Supercross. I reference Supercross a lot in here. I know that you can only stay in the lower series for so long before you get moved to the upper series. And I know there's a certain level of having to prove yourself in the lower series before you go up to the upper series. But there isn't such thing as a demotion once you're in that upper series. If you can't make it, then you just simply don't make the field. But there's a lot of guys in the back of the field that are not near the level of the guys at the front, especially anymore, because there's so many good guys in Supercross. And the good guys are so out above and beyond everybody else. But, I mean, I first of all, I think this is a product. This is not a product of anything other than the fact that there's just not enough people trying to qualify for races. If we had, you know, 50 teams trying to qualify for a 40 car field, then you're not going to have these guys that are getting in because they're buying their way in because they won't make the field. However, you will, because he has a charter. And I think if anybody is to blame for this, it's NASCAR and the RTA and this freaking stupid charter system, which has created what we have right now. Because
this is
Martin Truex Jr.'s team, right? I mean, isn't that the car he's driving? Is the
No, that's the Spire car.
Okay,
that's
you're right.
77. But yeah, no, this is the team. So Starcom had Landon Castle.
Yep, you're right.
Who did a very good job for them. Kept the cars clean. They signed him to an extension, and then basically Quinn came to the table and said, "Hey, I got cash."
Yeah.
And they kicked Landon to the curb. It was done Landon pretty dirty.
Yep.
So fans already didn't like him about that whole situation. But yeah, you're right.
I'm sorry. There should be so first of all, NASCAR has requirements as far as certain tracks that you have to be approved before you go on these tracks.
Certain age limits, certain drive. You've had to have driven.
When was the last time you heard of somebody actually not being approved to run on a track in the Cup Series?
Only young drivers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's only young guys.
There needs to be. I'm sorry. We need to have some limitation.
Well, we need.
You got to run a full season in one of the lower series or something.
We need to have, Formula One does it right. They have the FIA super license.
Yeah.
And you go ahead and Google that if you want all the statistics on it. But I think Martin Truex Jr. qualified for his super license, by the way. But anyway, so the FIA license basically has a point system established for all of the forms of auto racing across the world. NASCAR is included, Xfinity Series, Cup Series, everything. And drivers who want to race in F1 have to reach a certain number of points over a certain period of time, and they can then get their F1 seat. And the NASCAR Cup Series, I think, needs to look at some sort of a model like that. Because Quinn Hoff, he ran, Eric, listen to this really quick, 19 total late model series races over 3 years. He ran one K&N race. He ran 5 ARCA series races, 10 Xfinity, and now he's a full-time Cup driver.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's not a lot of racing. That is not a lot of races.
Let me put it this way. If it is easier to qualify to race in the NASCAR Cup Series than it is to qualify to race in the iRacing NASCAR Cup Series.
yeah.
Then there's a problem.
That's a great point. Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to race in the national series for iRacing, you have to qualify and earn your license up to that point.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. Yep. I like that.
I mean, I'm sorry. I get money talks, but you shouldn't just be able to just put anybody in a car and race with these guys. First of all, you're talking the lives of 40 guys or 39 other guys on the track. You're talking the lives of crew. And I'm not saying that Quinn Hoff risked anybody's, I mean, he wrecked somebody blatantly with a stupid move. And not to say that that drivers in the Cup Series haven't made stupid moves. The 7-time champion in the past 3 years has made quite a few really stupid moves.
He had a couple of bonehead moves.
We watched him do it at Darlington, where he took himself out with a race winning car at the end before even winning a stage.
Yep.
So it happens, but in this was Moody's argument today on his show, and I wanted so bad to call in, but I wasn't in the car long enough to do it, because he's talking about that. Okay, so these drivers that are so skilled are make mistakes too. Do you then relegate them? How do you draw the line? Well, the difference is that Jimmy Johnson, we can still count on one hand the number of bonehead mistakes that Jimmy Johnson's made in the last 3 years.
Yeah, drivers make mistakes.
Quinn Hoff has made more bonehead mistakes than Jimmy Johnson has made in his entire career in one half a season.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the difference. It's like, I don't know. I don't want to pick on a kid. I feel bad picking on a kid. It's not necessarily his fault, but something needs to be put in place for these guys to be able to qualify to run in these races. You shouldn't just be able to pull somebody out of the stands and stick them in a Cup car just because they've got money to bring.
You know, and Brad Keselowski is the right guy to bring this up too, mm-hmm. because he's the last of the old guard.
Yeah.
He came up the hard way, you know, earned his stripes in the trucks and, you know, Xfinity Series, got a couple of breaks, and he was there. Right. So I love Brad's take on this. I know a lot of people don't like Brad, and that's fine. But every once in a while, when he speaks on these types of things, as he should, as a former champion, people tend to listen. And he may spark a little bit of change here. Like, I don't know what NASCAR can really do down the road. I hope they take a look at it. But, you know, there could be something here. I'm really glad that he spoke up on it because I think, you know, and Moody's got a great point, too, where how do you relegate? But, you know, there's a way. There's a way to do these things. And if Quinn Huff is not elevating that team and he's only setting it back, you know, if you take him versus Landon Cassell brought that team forward and that team is completely collapsed now. There's a way for us to take a look at the data there and score that. And I hope that there's something in place down the road.
The thing is the economy and the charter system has created this, as I said.
A monster, yeah.
This used to happen naturally. The being regulated back to the lower series happened naturally. Let me give you an example. There was a young driver who began his racing career in the Cup Series in 1981. He ran 5 of 31 races in 1981. In 1982, he ran the full season, 30 of 30. He ran 16 races in 1983. During that time, he had 4 total top 5 finishes.
I kind of know who you're talking about.
And so he struggled. He had issues. He moved back down to the lower series, got more experience, and came back up. In 1988, he ran his next full-time season, ran 29 of 29 races. Ended up with, 40 wins in 882 races.
He's in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Mark Martin.
So Mark Martin had the same issue. He came up too early. He wasn't ready. He had issues. And he went back down to the lower series, got more experience, and came back up to run in the Cup Series. And look at how successful he became. This, again, with the charter system, this stuff doesn't necessarily happen anymore. And that's the problem. I mean, I've been against these charters since the very beginning. And I'm not saying it's the whole problem, but they have created so many problems, I think.
Yeah, the mess, dude. Yeah, I know.
It's just terrible. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if there's anything else to say here. I honestly think that there needs to be more to qualify for drivers to run in the series. I don't necessarily know that we need to demote drivers when they aren't ready or when they maybe make some mistakes. But they should have more of a path to get here than just, I got the money and I got a ride. Let's do it.
Yep, I agree 100%.
All right. We got some news today. NASCAR announced that there will be no practice or qualifying through the end of the season. Yeah, that's interesting. We actually had it in the notes already that there was going to be none through the end of August at least, and that they were looking at options for the rest of the year. But yeah, they announced today no qualifying, no practice. Obviously, the big question mark is Daytona and the road course. Obviously, NASCAR can change whatever they want to change, and they can decide to run a practice session or whatever. They did say also that they are looking at altering the procedure for the playoffs. One of the ideas that NASCAR.com had in their article, which the links are in the show notes if you want to check them out at thesuperspeedway.com, is that the playoff drivers, the top 16, would be drawn together. So maybe the top 16 in the race would be the top 16 playoff drivers by random draw.
And I have issues. I have issues on that.
Yeah.
I'm putting my hand up like I'm in a classroom.
I don't really have issues with that because we've already done that when we start by points.
Yeah.
So it doesn't bother me.
I just feel like if you win the regular season championship, there should be an additional reward.
Yeah.
For that. That's all I ask.
No, it's not I like a big, that. That's a good idea.
It's not a big change. It's just something that I think, you know, if going into the first race of the playoffs, if let's say Harvick is the first seed, right,
mm-hmm.
and he draws 16th, I don't think that's fair.
Yeah,
but that's just me.
I agree with that. You know, this is another one of those opportunities that if we do this in the future, if we continue with this no practice, no qualifying, or at least no qualifying, that maybe you take something like the All-Star race and give this some extra incentive.
Possibly.
For the postseason.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. Or you could like you do in baseball.
Yeah, you win the All-Star race, you get to be start automatically top 10. I don't know. You know, there's things you could do with there. One thing I wanted to clarify, the reason that we're not running practice and qualifying, most of the reason is, so all of these teams are operating on minimal personnel. And I was listening to Kurt Busch talk today about Ganassi Racing and how if you walked in the shop last year, you would see, you know, 40, 50, 60 people milling around doing stuff there. And he goes to the shop now and there's 9 guys in the shop. And the reason this is that a lot of these teams are running shifts. So there's this shift of 9 guys that does this job. And there's this shift of guys, this shift of 10 guys that does this job. And there's this group of guys that they're the road crew and they show up at the track. And there's this group of guys. So everybody's together in these groups. So if something happens in a group, you don't lose the entire team. You just lose that group. The biggest thing is that these teams, by doing no practice, no qualifying, don't have to bring a backup car. They're only getting one car ready for a weekend instead of 2 cars ready for a weekend. As soon as you add a practice session, any practice session whatsoever, now you have to bring a backup car to the track. Now you just created extra work for these teams that are already cut short. That's why we don't have practice and qualifying. And it makes sense. It works.
Yeah.
So
I think the teams like the savings of cost as well, probably.
Yeah, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I do hope that we get back to it. I don't care about qualifying, but I'd like to see a little bit of practice. I would be totally fine with a 1-hour session and that's it for the weekend. I like the idea of getting a chance to see when you're at the track, getting a chance to see the cars on the track before the race. Now, if we pack a bunch more stuff into the weekend like we've been doing, I guess it makes up for it. You get, you know, if you run 2 races on Saturday instead of a practice session, okay, that's fine.
Yep.
But we'll see. Obviously, you know, big experiment still. And I don't know, a lot of the teams, NASCAR is happy with how it's working. A lot of the teams are happy with it. Some of the drivers aren't, but it's been working pretty well. I think it's given us some entertaining shows because of it.
Yeah, I think it's been fine. Absolutely. Yeah. And
if you don't like Kyle Busch, it's really helped out.
Yeah, right. And, you know, I'm just seeing right now on Twitter, Brad Keselowski, I'm cool with it. That's all he said. Yep, he's happy about it. So, yeah.
Everybody's on the same playing field.
Yep.
You know, so it doesn't matter. If every team's dealing with the same thing, they're all dealing with the same thing.
Yeah, it's definitely led to some wackiness a little bit. I mean, we've got Cole Custer and Austin Dillon winning races.
Well, you got Eric Almirola, who had no brakes.
Yeah.
You know, something they would have caught in practice easily, but they didn't because they didn't get to run practice.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just been, a weird year, but you know, let's keep it wacky. It's going to be the wacky season of NASCAR.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Clint Bowyer is not ready to retire, James.
Of course he's not.
He tells, Bob Prakas or somebody, I don't remember who he told. The link's right here in front of me. I could click on it, but I'm not going to because I'm not that big of a professional. it says he's you know, he likes doing the booth thing and all that, but he still wants to race, still gets fired up for it, still likes getting mad at the end of the race, has the passion for it, wants to keep racing. Hinted that he'd like to stay at Stuart Haas.
He's lobbying.
Yeah,
he's lobbying.
What it sounds like for sure. So
something's going on.
Yeah, it sounds that way. And
Well, and there's one thing you and I wanted to talk about. It's not in the notes, but it's related to this. Larson is.
Oh yeah, I didn't put it in the notes.
Larson is lurking, Eric.
Yes.
Larson is lurking.
You got the stats in front of you?
I'm about to filibuster for me for a second. Right. I'm working on it.
All right. So yeah. There's definitely some interesting things going on with contracts. We've talked about it a lot in the podcast. Kyle Larson, one that we expect to probably still make his presence known in the Cup Series at some point. We got Eric Jones, who's looking for a contract. And I think James was telling me that he said that he still doesn't have any word from JGR.
Yeah, we read today from our local news affiliates that said, he's been working on it for over a year and no extension yet. So
you got him. You got Christopher Bell in the pipeline. Of course, he's under contract, but who knows what kind of
team. Apparently Tyler Reddick is in the pipeline.
Tyler Reddick. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff out there. So
here's free agent Kyle Larson racing on dirt, 33 dirt races. His average finish is 1.9. He has 20 wins, 28 podiums, and his worst finish is 6th.
Wow.
It's just, dude.
Yeah, he's killing it.
Dude,
he's living the dream right now. What Kyle Larson did was horrible, but how neat to be able to do this in your prime
outside of his, yeah, I mean, outside, okay, let's clarify too, yeah, outside of his paycheck,
right,
because it's, he's probably not getting paid as much,
right,
but he's getting to have a lot
of
fun.
He's getting to
live
his dream. He's gonna build a name for himself. He's gonna, the only thing I don't see Kyle Larson doing is he's not out there. I mean, he's winning races, but he's just not, nobody's talking about him. See him doing interviews. He's been too quiet, even though he's winning.
Well, he has gotten rid of all of his social media accounts.
Yeah.
So there's that.
If he's already got something locked up, then what is?
Yeah,
he,
he's quiet to. And he's quiet on purpose. He's not coming out, and yeah, especially with everything that escalated after, he's not coming out. But
right,
deserves to be talked about, because you and I were texting, and I'm like, I think I told you, you know, you could have told me he had 5 wins and that would have been astounding to me.
Yeah.
But what he's done is just unreal. He leads the all-star sprints in wins on the season. He has 9. The next closest person in the series has 5.
Wow.
And that's your point. And that's your points later. He just hasn't run enough races. He's only run 13 features. So 9 wins and 13 features. The points leader, Aaron, I'm going to give him a shout out, Aaron Rutzel. He has 5 wins in 24 features. Just to show you the damage that Larson's doing, in his short period of time. It's just he's just out of control, man. He's driving the heck out of those sprint cars. It's just incredible to watch, whether you like the guy or not, anymore. You know, when the guy's on dirt, he's a natural.
Yeah. You can't argue his talent. That's for sure.
And if he wanted to go full-time dirt and he wanted to be the next, you know, I don't know, Craig Kinzer or, Steve Kinzer, right?
Yeah.
Steve Kinzer, thank you. And Donnie Schatz,
Yep.
If he wanted to be a Donnie Schatz, he could totally do it.
Yep.
I just don't know if he wants to try to make another run at NASCAR. And Clint Bowyer lobbying for that seat makes me wonder if you know, there's some shenanigans going on right there. So
yeah,
that's it. Yep.
All right. We'll finish up with some non-NASCAR news. Indianapolis 500 announced today will be reduced to 25% capacity in the stands. They are reissuing tickets to spread everybody out for social distancing. I don't think there's any surprise here. I think it was pretty optimistic to think that it wouldn't be.
That's a full Brickyard 400.
Yeah, right. you know, I'm a little jealous of the people that are going to these races and getting all the space. I mean, I remember buying tickets to races and practically sitting in people's lap next to me.
Yeah. And the guy in front of you is a biker with road rash.
Yeah.
I really miss those days.
15 smokers in front of you. And
oh, the smokers. I forgot about that. Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's one thing I haven't missed being in the press box is the smokers and the heat. It's nice to be in air conditioning to watch a NASCAR race. Even when the air conditioning fogs up the entire window like it did at Chicagoland a couple years ago. But
we're getting softer in our older age.
We are. Okay. But yeah, so 25% capacity for the Indy 500.
Sounds like they're gonna run it though.
Yeah.
That's the good news. We're gonna get an Indy 500 and I think we're gonna get a Masters.
Yeah.
So I mean, we're gonna have some marquee American sports. They're gonna look a little weird.
Right.
But you know, Eric, this brings up another topic though. You know, the NBA and I know baseball is starting up this week, so NASCAR is not gonna be the only thing on anymore.
Yep.
Nobody
watches baseball or basketball.
Well,
right?
Baseball either needed to figure it out or it was gone. I still don't have faith that
hockey's coming back too.
Yeah.
Which again, I love hockey, but nobody watches that either, especially in the summer.
I don't have faith that baseball is going to finish this thing the way that they're going about it. Like Canada told their team to get out. Huh. We don't want any Americans coming in.
Interesting. I will say one of the things I read the other day, and I guess I'm basing this off of something I saw on Facebook, so maybe it's not true. But
yeah.
Did I read correctly that they have an app that you can like cheer and boo and like react and they'll pump the audio into the stadium?
MLB is going to be using their video game, I heard, as well for sound effects.
Interesting.
Did you see the NBA? So NASCAR has been pretty successful with COVID.
Right.
COVID, we've had a couple of flare-ups, but nothing too bad. The NBA tested, 360-some players in the bubble? No positives. So the bubble seems to be working for them. So that's cool. So we're going to have sports in some some capacity outside of NASCAR. So NASCAR had its run of being the only thing on for a while. But everybody else, here it comes. The fall's going to get busy.
Yes, yes, it will, which we expected. Till everything gets shut down again.
Yeah, of course, yes. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Do I have anything?
I did a quick Twitter search to make sure we didn't miss anything, but I think we're good, man. All right, we covered the news.
All right, let's talk picks for this is the Superstart Batteries 400 from Kansas Speedway. It is Thursday night, which is part of the reason we're recording tonight, because we can't record Thursday night. There's a race Thursday night.
Heck yeah, I'm excited.
The Cup cars, first cars on the track this weekend, and I think both the Xfinity and trucks are on the track as well. Am I right about that?
They run after the car. I think Cup goes first.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
There's two truck races over the...
That's right, there's a truck doubleheader.
Yeah. I think that's why Cup's coming in and getting out, and then the other series are gonna, which is weird. It's weird, but yeah, there's no Cup racing over the weekend either. This is not a midweek race. This is the race.
Yep.
For the week.
Interesting. Last race, James swept the weekend with his picks of Kevin Harvick as winner and Christopher Bell as the dark horse. I picked Martin Truex Jr. and Ty Dillon, and James beat me on both of those. So he comes back close. I'm still leading 21-20 after 18 races.
Yeah, hard to top what you did last week. So I'm glad I was able to salvage.
Yeah, right. All right. So Kansas Speedway, I get the first pick. I'm just going to go with, I got to make up some points now again. I got to get back out ahead. So I'm going to go Kevin Harvick. I mean, why wouldn't I pick Kevin Harvick here?
Yeah.
Three wins, second as far as, average finish, and that's only to Tyler Reddick, who has one race here. So
yeah,
so there we go.
Okay, so I'll go with I'm leaking confidence just a little bit here, but I'm gonna take Chase Elliott.
Okay,
last four starts he's gonna win, average finish of 4.8. I'm a little worried about Hendrick's speed, but I will. If you're going Harvick, I'm kind of boxed in. I don't know if I can beat you there. So I'm gonna try to wing it here and take a Chase Elliott to get the win.
There you go. Dark horse, you get the first pick.
Tyler Reddick?
Yeah, I knew you were gonna do that. You might as well take him because I was gonna take him if you didn't. So
yeah, he's gonna be there. I gotta take him, right? So yeah, I don't even need to get into it. I'll just take it.
All right, you get Tyler Reddick. There's no other good pick.
It's rough.
All right, I'll go Christopher Bell then. If we're gonna do that.
Yep, that's a good one. Yeah, it's gonna be. You're gonna have to duke him out. Yeah. Cole Custer would have been an interesting one. He doesn't have any stats here. He's never run a Cup race here.
He's won a race. So.
Yeah.
He's off.
That's right. We can't pick Cole Custer anymore. Darn Custer's it! I keep out. Forgetting that. Yeah, Cole Custer's off the board.
Yeah. Reddick's barely hanging on the board with that second place finish this past
weekend. I know.
Barely hanging on there, like. I mean, if Matt DiBenedetto is almost off the table, then Reddick's pretty much off the table. But you can have him. We'll keep it going. As soon as he gets that win, he's gone.
Yeah, I know. And it could be coming sooner rather than later.
Yeah, it could be coming this weekend.
I don't want you to be the only one who's ever won a race with a dark horse.
Right. Yeah, that was such a crapshoot. Like, nobody would have – I mean, nobody was calling for Cole Custer. That's
incredible. I'm still baffled by it.
Me too.
It's just one of the best things I've ever. I wasn't even mad. Yeah. Just one of the best things ever.
It's hard to believe. Still, 2 weeks or a week later, that he. I mean, wow. Anyway, fantasy league. I don't want to talk about it, but go ahead.
Eric was the first guy on the board without 0 points.
Yeah.
So there's something.
So here's the deal. So James informed me today. That
we have a gripe. We both have a gripe.
There was a glitch with the system with NASCAR.com, and so they are not counting starts against us this weekend. Well, this weekend I picked a bunch of drivers that I still had starts left for, none of which I was expecting to do well. I wasn't sure that I was going to get to watch the race live, so I kind of just blew the weekend away because I figured, well, I don't want to pick somebody who's got three starts left and then not be able to play with my garage and fix it when he crashes or something. So I didn't get cost any, starts, but I didn't pick anybody that I wanted to. It just pissed me off. Listen, guys, those of you who are participating in this fantasy thing, you are the only reason I'm doing this because I hate this.
I sent you and Todd the message that said, that we didn't lose any starters, I was irritated because I don't know. I'm trying to salvage a little bit, so I said screw it. So this week I'm going balls to the wall. So yeah. What a joke.
I hate this. I hate it.
I do too.
Guys,
our buddy Todd loves it.
Yeah.
Todd loves it because he's really good at it. But this is the worst I've ever been at fantasy picking ever since we switched to the NASCAR version. It's the worst I've ever done. So that says more about me than it does about anything else.
I guess that's my fault because I'm the one who pushed you to go to the NASCAR version.
God, we're bad. We're terrible. God, it's not good. Anyway, so top three, Freight Train, he's back. He was able to pick his bench this week, so he's back. But it didn't matter. Denny the Many and Justin 713, there's your top three. And then overall, let's get this over with. Freight Train's on top, Denny the Many and Ranger Runyon. So we got a nice little battle for those guys. They're all in each other's neighborhood within 87 points of each other. So there you go. That's it for fantasy. I don't want to talk about it anymore. It makes me furious.
Yeah, me too. James, I see you got a shout out. What's your shout out this week? I'm curious. So I'm intrigued by what you put in here now.
Yeah, so over the weekend, I'm getting stuff ready because we got a baby on the way, as I've mentioned before. So getting things ready and getting some stuff fixed up. So I have my new office. I'm downstairs, and the old PS2 was sitting there. So I flipped the switch, turned it on, and popped in NASCAR 04. Oh, God. Just great memories. They just don't make them like that anymore, man. You know, the soundtrack's perfect. The amount of paint schemes that you could choose from. I just wanted to reminisce about NASCAR 04 for a minute. It's probably my favorite video game of all time by itself.
I think I have NASCAR 2008 on for the PlayStation Portable on my PlayStation Vita, which is half.
I've got 07 on mine. Yeah, I've got 07 on mine. So that's in the neighborhood of each other.
Yeah, and that was fun when I could get the hacked Vita working, but now that...
Because you could get the... that was the series where you could get the mods. At least in 07. I think 06 to 06, 07, you could run the modifieds and then work your way up through the Cup series. NASCAR 04, still, it's only the Cup series, but man.
I watched a video the other day
about... tracks, Eric. Fantasy track. There's really good fantasy tracks. You can run the Daytona Beach course.
That's why you did it, right? Because we talked about it last week and you wanted to get out. You were talking about getting out NASCAR Thunder, I think.
So it happened. It did happen.
Nice. I watched a video on YouTube about how terrible and how unacceptable it is that NASCAR Heat has been as terrible as it is. It was actually a very good video. And I was so close, James. So here's the deal. Last Tuesday, I think it was, so a week ago today, the new Formula One game came out for PS4.
Yeah, 2020, yeah.
And I have 2018. I believe I had 2016, and I bought 2017 because I wanted the next version, and then I was really happy with 2017, but then they added the Halo, and I'm like, I can't be driving cars that don't have the Halo now. It's not good enough for me. So I'm like... All right, I'll get 2018. And then last year's came out, and it's like, I don't watch enough Formula One where it matters to me what teams everybody's on. I'm not buying the 2019. And then this year they come out with 2020, and they've got this whole team mode thing where you can start your own team like Haas and be the 21st and 22nd cars on the grid with your team. And it seems like a lot of work and probably more than I want to get into. But anyway, so I've been debating getting this game, and I was like, you know, I got Formula One 2018. I'm enjoying it still. I was just playing it the other day. I love it. I actually, James, side note, I ran a full length race, 71 laps at the Red Bull Ring on F1 2018. I did take a break in the middle of it. I did pause at about halfway and did some stuff and then came back and finished it. But I ran a full length race and won, by the way. But anyway, so I'm like, maybe I should just buy the new NASCAR Heat game. I think I have NASCAR Heat 2. And maybe I'll just get the NASCAR Heat game and try that out. And then I watched this video and it's like, no, I'm glad I didn't blow my money on that stupid
thing. Yeah, good thing. Yeah, good job. Good job.
That was a long way to get around to saying that. So speaking of F1, that's my shout out this week. The Formula One season is three races in now. They ran two races at Red Bull Ring, and then I forget where they raced this weekend. I did not watch the full race this weekend. I watched the first full race. Actually, I think I watched both races at Red Bull Ring. it's been a really good season this year for the Formula One series. It's very intriguing. There's been some good racing. The one thing I note with Formula One is that unlike NASCAR, you really don't pay attention to the front of the field because you got one or two guys up there and they run away with it. But the mid-pack stuff is really interesting. And it's probably because there's only 20 cars in the field. But it's really fun to watch the strategy and stuff that takes place in the middle of the field. They do a great job calling it. If you like commercial-free racing, it's excellent because it's on ESPN and it's commercial-free. It's really good. So if you guys haven't had a chance, if you were looking for some more motorsports, you want to check something out, check out the Formula One series. It's been a good year so far. Very interesting, to say the least. And, I mean, there's even been some drama with Hamilton up front. And he had some issues the very first race at Red Bull Ring with the car essentially breaking or barely hanging on through the end of the race. And I don't know. It's been good stuff. So check out the Formula One series if you haven't. Unfortunately,
well, and then there's
no Monaco this year, though, which is a bummer. That's the one race I watched every year.
One thing to note, though, too, is the Netflix show we've talked about before. Yeah. Just if you want to get a quick, you know, what's going on with
that
one. I need
to go back to that now that I'm even watching Formula One more.
Yeah, it's good. It gives you a full recap of what happened last year and kind of lets you inside on the teams. So it's very good show.
There is a lot of politics in Formula One.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot different than NASCAR. But it's fun to watch, and it's just another series to watch. And mm-hmm. a lot of technology there. There's a lot of things that are interesting in the way the strategy works. It's way more strategic. There's a lot of strategy that goes into a NASCAR race, but there's a ton of strategy that goes into those Formula One races. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. It's fun to watch. So if you like, I guess if you're a NASCAR fan and you like baseball, it's a good mix of that strategy that you get with baseball with racing as well. So
spot on. I like that.
There you go. James, where can they find you on social media if they want to chat with you during the week?
At James Cush on Twitter.
You can find me at T Super Speedway on Twitter. I've been trying to be a little bit more active on my NASCAR Twitter account. I've gotten some replies from some of you guys, so I appreciate that. Go ahead and send me shout outs or comment or what throughout the week. If you have a comment about the podcast, definitely hit us up on there as well. If you want to chat during a race, whatever, send me a message. I have my notifications on, so I see when you guys message me. So even if I'm not on there, I'll see it. So send me a reply if you want to chat. You can find the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/thesuperspeedway. Our website is www.thesuperspeedway.com. You can find show notes on there, links to all the articles we discussed in today's episode and past episodes, links to old episodes of the podcast. Shoot, the podcast go back for like a long time. We don't have them all up there, but a lot of the old ones are still there, so check those out. A lot of old interviews, discussions, coverage of the track, all that stuff. So check that out, thesuperspeedway.com. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and SoundCloud, wherever you found us today. We hope you subscribe and continue to listen. And if you want to become a part of the show, help us out, you can do that at patreon.com/thesuperspeedway. Did I miss anything? I feel like I missed something.
You nailed it, dude.
I think I got it all.
You nailed it. You stuck the dismount.
There we go. So we don't have long to wait. Thursday night, we go to Kansas Speedway for the Superstart Batteries 400. We got Xfinity and Truck Series racing this weekend as well. And we will be back. We will be back next week, as always, to discuss it all, break it all down, and probably talk about what Noah Gregson did this week. So, until then, everybody, let's go racing.